We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey everyone, welcome to the RotoGrinders Morning Grind Podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. It's Wednesday. It's January 31st. It is 2024. We have 9 NBA games to talk about here on today's podcast. Joined today by my good buddy, Keith Eister, Eyes819. Keith, only one back-to-back. Feels great after yesterday's slate. What a mess that was, but definitely very happy to only see one team on a back-to-back for our main slate here. How are you doing, my friend?
Yeah, doing well. Only one back-to-back, but already huge injury news, so there, it's going to be just as wild. With Luka out, we've got the Dallas situation again, and they've got one of the toughest matchups in the league, so that'll definitely be an interesting game to break down. But yeah, 9 games, nice size slate, and should have plenty of options here.
Yeah, a lot of injury news already that we're going to be talking about, breaking down. As always, we are First Look Podcast. There could be stuff that changes throughout the day, so make sure you're keeping up with the news and use us as a first look. We're just trying to get you steered in the right direction for the upcoming slate. I had someone message me today saying that they use all my opposite picks and they're very thankful for what I do. So, like, yeah, those are the best. No, I appreciate all you guys. Whether you want to listen for playing the opposite picks or you play the picks I give out, either way, thank you for hanging out. What's up, YouTube? What's up, Richie? Easy. Hope you guys are having a fantastic Tuesday night. If you haven't already, subscribe to the RotoGrinders Morning Grind YouTube page. If you haven't already, we appreciate it. We're getting close to 1,000 subscribers over there. That was a goal for last year, but hey, it'd be great to hit it here at the beginning of the year. We're going to jump right in. We've got a lot to talk about. We have the Clippers in Washington right off the bat here, 239.5 total on this game. It has the highest implied total on the slate. Clippers, a 12-point favorite. Zubac and Livers out. Let's start Clippers here first. Great pace up spot for LA. You know, when we're looking at pace in general, Washington plays at the fastest pace in the NBA. The Clippers are a team that are typically bottom five in pace, so they are getting a huge pace increase. The one thing that I do want to point out is the Clippers are fifth in, like, total net rating, and they're a very good offensive and defensive team. Washington's 26. So a little lopsided matchup here, and that's where the 12-point favorite Clippers are on the road. But it's a fantastic matchup. The pricing on the Clippers are very doable. What are we doing here with LA?
Yeah, I mean, one of the best matchups you can ask for against Washington. A little bit of blowout risk, obviously, but I still have a ton of interest here. I don't know for sure if Paul George is still on the minutes limit. He's only played 27, 22, and 28 minutes in his last three, dealing with that growing injury. So definitely be keeping an eye out for news. If Paul George is still limited, not that he can't get there in 30 minutes, but I would definitely want mid-30s would be much, much more preferable, obviously. That makes Kawhi the number one target for me, and Harden as well. Harden's a little bit more expensive than Kawhi, so I lean Kawhi. Probably comes with a decent amount of ownership in this spot. Awesome matchup. Everybody knows to target to target Washington by now. 8,200 for Kawhi feels like a little bit too cheap. Harden at 8,500, definitely in play. I don't think it's crazy to look at Westbrook either. Just 5,700, we know he's huge per minute. It's just, can he get 25 minutes is basically the key. If he's in the low 20s, it's going to be a tough path to get there, but maybe he gets a little extra run in a blowout as well. So I do have interest in Westbrook and maybe some Norm Powell as well, just because he could see upper 20s minutes if he gets a little extended run. If they're up big in the fourth and he's out there for his shift, maybe they just leave him out there and don't bring guys like Paul George and Kawhi back onto the floor. But tons of interest all around. Kawhi, the number one target for me.
Yeah, Kawhi is the number one target for me as well. This seems like a good defensive matchup for Kawhi too, where he can like get that like 2 to 5 stocks on top of, you know, 5 assists and double-digit rebounds and points. So this could legitimately be like one of those games we see Kawhi have like a 38-5-3-1 type of game, and he's 8,200. So absolutely like the Kawhi call. I would rank them Kawhi, Harden, and I think I would rank Powell or Theis over Paul George. And I know that sounds crazy, but like, I don't mind taking some chances on these cheap guys and just saying, if Paul George, if this game gets out of hand, Paul George is going to be one of the first guys off the court type of thing. So I'm with you on George. Until we see him have like a 35-minute game again, it's really tough to play him with the other two just absolutely smashing every night, it seems like. So very interested in Kawhi in this spot. And then, like I said, Norman Powell, Westbrook, Theis, just taking some shots on these cheaper options. I mean, Mason Plumlee's getting 20 minutes a night. 20 minutes against Washington is enough for 4,600. Let's go to the Washington side. One of the most frustrating teams to figure out this season has been Washington. I like Gafford. I think Gafford is someone you could take shots on here. No Zubac. Defense goes down a little bit with him off the floor. He has double-double upside, so I think he's playable. Outside of that, it gets so murky, man. I know, like, Kuzma, he has that upside. He's been playing really well, over 40 fantasy points in 3 of the last 4. What are your thoughts here on Washington?
Yeah, I'm totally with you on the Gafford call. I like that quite a bit with no Zubac on the other side. He's been really solid here recently. Minutes have been okay. A guy whose minutes have kind of fluctuated all season, but 28 in each of the last 2, 31 even in the game before that. So Gafford's been really solid. I think he has one of the better matchups of anybody here. The Clippers, like you said, with their net rating, have been really good on the defensive end. So not an awesome matchup here, but going to have a ton of Clippers exposure. Probably looking for a run back, and I'm with you that Gafford is the best play here. Tyus Jones is another guy I want to mention. His minutes have been a little bit more stable. He's been over 30 consistently, where beginning of the season seemed like he was more in that 28-minute range. He's been getting like 32 minutes pretty regularly. 6,300 for him. I don't hate Tyus Jones in the spot.
Yeah, I don't mind Tyus Jones. I still think Gafford would be my favorite option, but Tyus is a little bit cheaper than Kuzma, and I think they both have like 40-plus point upside, so I think I'd take the cheaper option here. If you're playing like a Kawhi Harden like stack, I think you have to run it back with one of these big guys on Washington to hope the game's staying close, that they get their full run and you get your full run out of your Washington players. So, hey, by the way, Clippers are plus 750 to win the championship now.
I know you bet it already.
I got it at 14 and I bet it again at 12. Nice. So yeah, I feel good about my Clippers season long bet. So you never know what those season-long bets, and I love to use like bonus bets, but I actually bet like both of those. I don't know what you do, if you do any season-long stuff, but I love using bonus bets on season-long stuff and getting like the best possible odds, I feel like, at the time. So, yeah. You're not like, you know, using capital that you would be using on a nightly basis if you're using bonus bets. So
yeah, for sure. I mean, I don't do a bunch of it just because, like you were alluding to there, like I don't want my money tied up all season long. I would much rather cycle through it on a nightly basis. But yeah, I mean, you can definitely find some really good like futures bets if you're into that kind of thing.
All right, we got Chicago at Charlotte. No total in this game. It's a back-to-back for Chicago. We know Levine's going to miss this game. But on the Charlotte side is where there's a lot of interesting injuries here. Ball is doubtful. Hayward, Williams remain out. Lowry, they said, if he does play, it won't be until after the trade deadline or All-Star break. Kind of just saying that he's probably not going to play. Patrick Williams, they said that he'd be reevaluated in 2 weeks. So 2 minutes, guys, here out for Chicago, and they've been out now. We have a little bit of a sample size. We'll start with them. It doesn't get much better matchup for Vooch going up against the Charlotte team. We've seen centers absolutely smash this team all season long. So I definitely think this is a good Vooch spot. But I think we are going to continue to look at Coby White, Caruso. DeRozan is like one of my least favorites, but like, did you see his line against Toronto? He had like 4 blocks and 3 steals and like some assists and 20 points. Like, it was just such an interesting line that DeRozan put up in that game. So AU continued to play well. I think he had like 20 actual points and had some assists and rebounds. But the defense, Chicago defense against Toronto, it was really interesting because, like, I think everybody in the starting lineup had at least 1 steal or block. So I think AU is probably my favorite here because he's still 4,600 and the price is ridiculous. And with Williams and Levine out, I don't see why AU doesn't continue to start. So he's my favorite by far. And then Vooch and White, I think, are guys that I'm going to be looking at. I love this matchup for Vooch.
Yeah, awesome matchup all around. I'm with you on the matchup for Vooch is the one that stands out for sure. 7,500 should play upwards of 30 minutes, mid 30s minutes probably in this spot. So I think he has an enormous ceiling. Coby White has shown a big ceiling without Zach LaVine, so certainly don't mind him. Love the AO call. He's going to play the minutes. He's shown that, like you said, another really good game on Monday night. Dalen Terry left the game Monday.
Sprained his ankle. That alert. Yeah.
I don't know that it benefits anyone. He hasn't been playing a ton. Julian Phillips has been getting some decent run. Just as a punt type of play, I think he could see 20, 24 minutes in this spot. So maybe take a look at Julian Phillips if you're starving for value. Javon Carter would be the only other name I could see getting elevated, but I think Phillips is ahead of him at this point. I have a ton of interest in the Bulls team. Dasunmu too cheap, like you said. Vooch in an awesome matchup. Coby White with the ceiling without LaVine. I'm kind of with you on DeRozan too. Like, he's been doing a little bit more, but still just not a guy that I love to play. He's up there in age. He doesn't shoot threes really. He's doing a little bit better with the peripherals at least, but he's not the elite scorer that he used to be either.
Love the Julian Phillips call. Shout out to you. Like, he played quite a bit of minutes the other night when Patrick Williams got hurt, and he played 23 minutes. He's at 20 minutes right now. And we know Chicago, I mean, they kind of run their starters out. They're going to be on a back-to-back and all the starters are going to be over 30 minutes. The one thing that we can continue to say about Chicago is they love to run that like 8 to 9 man rotation. You know what you're getting out of your starters, and Phillips is going to get some run here. So I love that call. He's 3,200 on a big slate. You know, that's going to open up a lot. Granted, we do have a lot of value that we're going to talk about as we're going here, especially on that Dallas side. But, you know, there's plenty of studs to pay up for on this slate. So I like that call a lot. 3.2K is always great. Charlotte. One of the reasons that I like your 3.2K call there is I think I want to pay up for Miles Bridges on this slate. One of the reasons is Patrick Williams, one of the reasons that he played so much is he's such a good defender. So him being out definitely takes a little bit of a hit to the defense here. Bridges is going to shoot a ton. Brandon Miller is going to shoot a ton in this game. And then I don't necessarily hate Nick Richards. He's going to play really solid minutes, but his price is kind of caught up. So I think I want to take shots on Bridges, Miller, Martin, and the point guard situation between like deciding if it's going to be Ish Smith or Nick Smith Jr. It is tough, but I mean, Rozier is gone. Ball is doubtful. One of these guys is going to have to play some minutes here.
Yeah, the point guard is really difficult. Frank Ntilikina got a little bit of run. Like, you would prefer to see him out to want to target these point guards, I think. Like, neither one of Ish or Nick Smith played a ton in that last game, so it's really hard to want to target them. They're both really cheap. I wouldn't be surprised if one of them gets there. I would prefer not to have to try to figure out that situation for this slate, but we'll see what kind of value opens up. You mentioned Dallas. I just mentioned Julian Phillips on the other side. So there is some like 3K type of plays for sure. I like the Miles Bridges call a lot. I totally agree with you with this matchup. No Patrick Williams. They're going to be hurting for size quite a bit. Chicago is. So Miles Bridges could really get off here. Vooch is probably on Richards, and that leaves what, maybe DeRozan on Bridges. Like, he should absolutely crush DeRozan. Brandon Miller is a guy who I played a ton of, like, against Houston and against Utah, and he completely crashed and burned. I played none of him against the Knicks in his last game, and it was the ceiling game that I had been chasing. Totally missed it. So definitely going to have to go back to some Brandon Miller here. He was a guy that I, as soon as Rozier was traded, I knew that I wanted to be heavy on Brandon Miller over the next couple of weeks until his price caught up, because he has a better role than where he's priced. Like, he's going to be probably the second option on this team while LaMelo is out, behind Bridges. When LaMelo comes back, he's going to be right there with Bridges, I think, for like the second or third highest usage on this team. So Brandon Miller at 6,600, I have a ton of interest in. I don't mind Richards, but I agree that the price has kind of caught up with him.
For what it's worth, last game against the Knicks, they started Bridges, Miller, Martin, PJ Washington, Nick Richards. So they just avoided the whole Ish Smith, Nick Lakina, Nick Smith. Really. Yeah, they just avoided it. And like, Bridges, Miller, Washington, and Richards all played over 35 minutes, and Cody Martin played 31 minutes. So I think if you're attacking the Charlotte team, I think you potentially, I hate to say this, knock on wood, but I think you could trust the starters. I think the starters are going to play minutes, and they're going to rely on these guys a lot. And they did some weird rotations with Miller to get Miller and Bridges off the floor, and like to have them on, like, one on, one off at times, where there was always one of them on. So you could play them together at their prices, I think, because this should be a spot where they might go a little overlooked just because of it's a 9-game slate and they don't have necessarily the best matchup. Speaking of bad matchups, Detroit at Cleveland, 228.5 total here. Cleveland, a 12-point favorite. Stewart's out for Detroit. Garland upgraded to questionable for this game. I think this would be a good spot to kind of ease him back here. I know he's missed, I think, like 19 or 20 games in a row. And then Jerome's still out for Cleveland. But let's start here with Detroit. The biggest news here is Cade Cunningham is probable. He returned against Washington. It was on Sunday, right? Saturday or Sunday? I know he returned over the weekend and played 35 minutes against Washington. I think that kind of shocked a lot of us. We weren't expecting, after missing almost 3 weeks, for him to come back and play 35 minutes, but he did. What are we doing now with this Detroit team? Really tough matchup going against Cleveland. They're starting to get healthy. I know Gallinari doesn't play a ton of minutes, but he's back. Or is he traded? I don't know. But I think there's enough here where I don't necessarily have to target Detroit against Cleveland.
Yeah, I agree. Not very much interest at all. In fact, no interest outside of Cade Cunningham. And I'm only slightly interested in Cade because of the 35 minutes that we saw him play. It is not a great matchup, but if he's going to be out there for mid-30s minutes, I suppose I might take a shot or two, but going to be way down the list. He affects everybody else, so I don't think there's really anything else worth chasing in a really tough matchup with Cleveland. I'll basically be out on Detroit.
Easy wants to know if we think Thompson's going to start at the four here. I assume with Stewart being out is kind of the thought process with that. So do we think
it had been Kevin Knox? I think they probably go back, which is not exciting at all. I know, but that's the true answer.
Even like rotating in Muscala too. Like, we were just talking about, was it Charlotte or somebody, or it wasn't Charlotte, it was Chicago or somebody playing like a really tight, like 8-9 man rotation. Well, Detroit's playing 20 guys a night. So it's, and I'm exaggerating a little bit, but I mean, they're realistically playing 10, 11 guys a night. So it could be anybody. I like the thought process, right? Like Thompson is 3,900. If he does draw a start, if he draws the start over Knox, and
yeah, I would have interest then.
Yeah, I would too. I mean, if we're going to be looking at 25, 30 minutes, Cleveland has size. So it wouldn't shock me if he draws a start. So I think Thompson's a good name to bring up, but like even Isaiah Stewart, he's 20, 25 minutes a night. So if you can get 25 to 30 minutes that Stewart's playing for Thompson, that's not a bad price. Hate the matchup. Cleveland side, love the matchup here for Cleveland, but we're getting a lot of mouths to feed. Mobley's back, came back, only played 21 minutes the other night. I assume that he's going to be around that or maybe a little bit more. We were a little worried about the rebounding rate for Jared Allen with Mobley back. He said, watch out, guys. I'm going to go out and grab 17 boards. if Garland comes back, I don't think he will play full minutes. It was a jaw injury, right? Like he broke his jaw or something. So I don't know like what kind of conditioning you can do with a broken jaw. Never had one. Just a lot of mouths to feed here in Cleveland. Great matchup. Jared Allen should smash if you think this game's going to stay close. Mitchell, 9,600. I think I'll pass on Mitchell, even though like he could put up 50 fantasy points in 28 minutes in this game.
Yeah, I think, assuming that if Garland does not make it back, I have some interest in Mitchell, but I think Garland would really impact Mitchell's ceiling. Not to say you can't get there in an
what
awesome
if Garland
matchup.
Comes off the bench and has a 20-minute limit?
Yeah, I probably have a little interest in Mitchell in that spot. I do think that Garland impacts Mitchell's usage a decent amount, though. But if he's super limited or not starting, then I still do have some interest in Mitchell. I do prefer saving the money and going down to Jared Allen. I think that's where the real ceiling is at. Mobley probably still on a minutes restriction. I would guess he gets up to like 25, 26 minutes in this spot, but I don't think he's going to be full quite yet. And the matchup is incredible. So give me Jared Allen over Mitchell. But if Garland is limited, then I don't hate it. Not touching anybody else outside of Allen on this team, though.
We're moving on. That's what we got. I got nothing else for that one. We got
nine
Sacramento.
Games, we can be picky.
Yeah, Sacramento at Miami. 230.5 total here. Miami 1-point favorite. Sacramento is good to go. Duncan Robinson out for Miami. Makes a difference because we talk about it all the time. Sacramento is a 3-point target. Like we want to target 3-point shooters against Sacramento. Tough matchup here for the Kings. We've seen Kevin Huerter play really solid recently. He's still only 5,200. The minutes are consistent. Harrison Barnes finally decided he wanted to go under his point prop the other night. That was fantastic. Appreciated Harrison Barnes. Still shot 15 times. Super concerned if you played that prop. What do you like here for the Kings?
Yeah, the Kings are a tough team to figure out, especially like Huerter has bounced all over the place with minutes. It feels like he's significantly ahead of Malik Monk at this point. Monk has been highly impacted by Huerter playing into the 30s in the minutes. He's only gotten 20 in each of the last two. So I think, as odd as it is to say, Huerter might be my favorite look here. Like paying up for Sabonis against Bam, I'm not into that. De'Aaron Fox has been wildly inconsistent for the better part of the month at this point. If I was chasing ceiling, it's probably Fox over Sabonis for me. Don't think I need to do it on a 9-game slate. Tough matchup against Miami. I will say, since Miami acquired Terry Rozier, their defense has not been as strong. So it's not as tough of a matchup as if you're looking at season-long numbers, I don't think. But still, it's a tough spot for Sabonis for sure. Fox's inconsistency. I think Keegan Murray could be interesting here. But Huerter is a little bit cheaper, and he's been the usage guy with Harry Barnes. Probably not playing Harry Barnes. He's up to 5K, but a little sprinkle of Huerter, I don't mind chasing ceiling with Keegan Murray or Fox.
I saw something interesting about Murray the other day, shooting like 50% from the field at home and like 42% on the road, and it's like 43% from three at home and like 28% on the road. Just
interesting
throwing that out there. I mean, home road splits to me are not something that I like. end all stat, but when it's like that's a large number of threes, and when you're making a lot of your upside on threes, it was an interesting note to kind of write down when I was in my mental write down. Herter is probably my favorite too. It's weird, right? Like, yeah. You know, a month ago I would have been like, yeah, no.
He was playing like 18 minutes. Like even when he was started, like he just wasn't getting any run, but he's climbed out of the doghouse, it appears.
Yeah. And I mean, like Sabonis has ceiling in any matchup. So if you're playing a bunch of teams, I understand it. It's not my favorite spot. Yeah. Miami side. I think I'm going to put Bam and Butler on the bench today, and I think I'm going to take some shots on our good friend Tyler Hero. Love this three-point matchup. He gets double-digit threes up a lot. I think this is a spot we want to take some Tyler Hero, and I think I prefer him over Terry Rozier when I'm looking at just like we know Tyler Hero is going to get double-digit threes up most nights, and I think that's the guy I want against the Kings, who give up a ton of threes.
Yeah, love that call. It's Tyler Hero for me as well. Hasn't really been all that impacted. I mean, like you said, he's still getting his shots up. A little bit of concern with Rozier coming into the fold, who is a much higher usage guy than somebody like Kyle Lowry. Was a little bit concerned Hero's usage might suffer a little bit, but 18 shot attempts in each of the last two. So doesn't appear that he's that impacted. He's going to get his shots up. So love the Hero call. I definitely will take some shots on Terry Rozier as well. 6,300. Not quite playing as many minutes as you would like, but I think this is a really solid matchup for him as well. Don't mind some shots. I never hardly ever play Butler, so I'm out on him in this spot. I think Bam is okay, but I'm with you. I think you just save some money. Go down to Hero and Rozier are the spots in this game.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I don't know if you necessarily even have to play anybody from Miami in this game either, because I could see Tyler Hero scoring 28 points and not doing anything else really to get him there. So could be one of those, like, just one of these spots that we are targeting props more than anything else. Orlando at San Antonio, taking on the Spurs. We got a 228 total here. Magic 5-point favorite. Harris out for Orlando. Bassey out. Collins and Keldon Johnson questionable for San Antonio. Let's go to Orlando first. Orlando is getting healthy. I know Gary Harris is still out. Wendell Carter Jr. is playing enough minutes. He's 6,100 now, though. Good matchup against San Antonio just overall. I think I want to play Franz in this spot at 7K. He's going to kind of stay away from Wimby defense, and the rest of this defense is kind of shaky. So he's probably my favorite target here. Talked the other night about Jonathan Isaac potentially sitting on the back-to-back. They let him play. He played like 8 minutes, and then they kind of said, hey, you know, we're going to take you out of the game. Just sit him. Like, why even say, hey, we're just going to limit his minutes and play him 8 minutes. Just sit him. I mean, I think it's Franz. The guard situation is very, very, very too many mouths to feed kind of situation. So it's Paulo or Franz. And I think I like the matchup for Franz more than I like it for Paulo.
Yeah, I'm with you on Franz. Wendell Carter is the guy who I would want to target in this matchup, but like you said, he's been playing the minutes. Like, we thought he was going to be unleashed, like back to a low 30s role. Played like 34 and 35 a couple of games ago, but then we saw 23 minutes and 29 minutes.
Yeah, it was blowouts, though. It was a back-to-back against Dallas, and he got in foul trouble, so he fouled out of that game.
Yeah, that one was foul trouble. It looks like he was Phoenix, on his way to mid-30s there.
Yeah, Phoenix was a blowout, and Cleveland was a blowout. So okay. I think Wendell Carter is in that like 30 to 35-minute range now.
Okay, fair enough. And since you're a Magic fan, the Jonathan Isaac stuff is super interesting. He's only 3,800, and they kind of took the leash out a little bit. 22 minutes and 23 minutes. Is that a role that we can count on, you think? Being that it's not a back-to-back, he's got a day of rest here.
One of the best defenders in the NBA, in my opinion. I don't know where he actually ranks, but when he's healthy, I think Jonathan Isaac's one of the best defenders in the NBA. I think his defense earns 20-plus minutes a night. When he's healthy, I mean, this is a guy that has not been able to stay healthy, and when he's been healthy, he's just been phenomenal. So I think in your like large field tournament scenario, sure, why not, right? Like you roll the dice on him getting 20 minutes here. Who did you just talked about somebody who was like 3,200.
Julian Phillips.
Yeah, so like I think I'd prefer Phillips still, unless Phillips like is that like, hey, everyone's playing him kind of guy today. That's the only bad thing about doing like a first look podcast. We don't have an idea of projected ownership, but if Phillips is like 30-40% and Isaac's 3%,
yeah, I mean, that's exactly the situation I'd be targeting. Yep.
I mean, there's your pivot, right? Like Isaac is legitimately one of those guys that can, I mean, he's the guy that can get you 3, 4, 5 steals and blocks in a game when he's on. So like, and when you're playing a big man spot, you're going to get some rebounds and you're going to get some easy putbacks as well. But I mean, I just looked at his defensive rating on the season. It's 99.1. He's a phenomenal defender.
Yeah. And this is one of the best matchups for stocks as well. The Spurs turn it over a ton. So this call is really growing on me. If Phillips gets any ownership, I'll be all over Isaac.
Yeah. I mean, again, like from a floor standpoint, we both think it's Phillips. But if you're looking for a pivot, maybe Isaac's the guy. I'm not worried about him minutes wise. He should be in that like 20-minute range. But the risk you are taking is like he does end up playing like 14 minutes. So, but the fact that they started to extend him, they even let him play in a back to back, whatever you call that, I guess. But
yeah.
Wendell Carter Jr. I think his minutes are in that 30 to 35 range for what it's worth, because I mean, you just want, yeah, the game to stay close. I think he gets his minutes, but blowouts, he's going to be one of the first guys off the floor. So Magic are interesting. I mean, like I said, Franz is my favorite. And then like maybe looking at some of these secondary pieces, like point guards against San Antonio has been a thing. I think I'd prefer Fultz if I was going to roll the dice on a point guard here. But overall, yeah, don't think I want to mess with a point guard. There's too many mouths to feed. San Antonio is super easy for me. It's Wimby. Done. I mean, okay. To humor me, Keith, does Keldon Johnson potentially missing this game change anything for you?
It doesn't. Like, I'm with you. It's Wemby and nothing else for me here on the Spurs. I think the guy that gets elevated minutes in that spot is Champagne, and he just hasn't done much with his minutes this year. But you could potentially see him play like upper 20s minutes. It really, Keldon missing doesn't do much for me. I suppose it does mean more.
What about Jetty? Like, wouldn't Jetty play if Keldon sits?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's going to get more than 20. And I guess he did play 29 the other day. I still don't think they prefer to run him out there. The Keldon being out would boost usage for Vassell and so on. I still don't have a ton of interest. I just don't like the matchup against Orlando. They've been really solid on the defensive end this season.
No, I agree. Our second unit defense is getting healthier too for the Magic, but Jetty played 29 minutes with Keldon playing and would have, I mean, him and Blake Wesley would have a lot of that usage with the second unit. And they closed with Jetty the other day in that game over Sohan and Champagne. Like, he's not going to close. Julian's not going to close. So maybe in large field tournaments, another pivot if we get, this is all just talking about like if we end up getting the chalky Phillips, right? Like, if Phillips is just that guy that people are just on today, we're just looking for some pivots. That's all.
Yep. Yeah, Jetty's minutes are interesting. I did not realize he had closed in the last game, so definitely something to look into.
Yeah, I looked in Court IQ because I was curious. I was curious, like, if Keldon had left the game for a little while with the injury or anything, and like he played his normal 29 minutes. Jetty got a lot of run over Julian in that game. Like, Julian barely checked back in both halves in the second quarter and fourth quarter. So maybe we're seeing a trend. It's pop, man. You have no idea what to expect.
Right.
And that game was playing faster, so maybe they used Jetty because the game was playing faster because it's Washington. I don't know. Good luck figuring out what's going on in Pop's head. Not even going to try that. We got Denver at OKC, 229.5 total here. Thunder, a 1.5-point favorite. We got all the injury news in the world to look at this game. This game is going to determine a lot on the slate depending on who's in and who's out. Jokic is questionable on Denver. Dort, SGA, Holmgren, questionable. Williams out for OKC. That could mean a lot of Josh Giddey. We'll talk about that in just a second. But let's go Denver here first. If Jokic sits, I assume he plays. He's been playing through injuries all year. I don't think he's missed a game since like November. And Embiid's missing a ton of games, so Jokic wants that MVP. Luka's missing a bunch of games. So I think Jokic ends up playing in this one, but if he does end up sitting, I think it's a bump. It's a really easy bump to Jamal, Porter, and Gordon. And Gordon and Porter are way too cheap if Jokic sits.
Yeah, completely agree with all of that. I'm kind of with you, though. I think he plays in the spot. Oklahoma City is making some noise in the West, so I think he's going to want to be out there. And in that case, I have far less interest in Murray and Porter and Gordon. It's really just Jokic that I'd be targeting if he does play. Just looking at the pricing, like picking between one of those three guys, it's probably Aaron Gordon for me. Just he's the cheapest. We know he's going to be out there for the minutes. I don't know. I don't see myself spending $8,100 for Murray with Jokic on the floor. MPJ is always has some ceiling if he can get hot shooting, but it's been inconsistent here recently. So probably lean Gordon and just take the safer floor there, but don't have a ton of interest in any of the three if Jokic is playing.
For what it's worth, when Denver and the Clippers, that November 27th game that Jokic missed, Jamal Murray also missed that game. DeAndre Jordan played 34 minutes in that game. I don't know if we trust it. If he starts, maybe we trust it. But getting that type of minutes out of DeAndre Jordan at 4K would make him very, very chalky. He put up 50 fantasy points. He had a 21-13 line, according to game flow here. So Reggie Jackson had a big game, too, because Jamal Murray was out. Aaron Gordon sat in that game as well. So I don't know if that kind of determined on like a DeAndre Jordan playing that many minutes. Michael Porter Jr. played in that game, and he was awful. So. We'll see.
So theoretically, if Jokic does sit, can they play Jordan against Chet? Like, there's no way.
But Chet's questionable too, though.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, if Chet's out, that's different.
This whole game is like a huge question mark because of injuries. I mean, yeah,
for sure. It's hard. It's really hard to break it down without the,
because news. Like, okay. So if Chet sits, do we see this game go small and DeAndre not be like Kendrick Williams playing the five? Like, I mean, like, that is a possibility. I was going to bring it up when we get to the other side. I just don't think they want to run Jalen Williams out there for 30 minutes. So, yeah, a lot of question marks here.
Peyton Watson matchup is like a small ball five for Denver. If Oklahoma City goes small and plays Kenrich, then I could definitely see Peyton Watson being super interesting. And then I do think the Jalen with a Y Williams would be matched by Jordan minutes. So depending on who starts, I think you could kind of get an idea of what these teams plan on doing.
All right, going to the Thunder side. SGA questionable, Holmgren questionable, Dort questionable. Joe already ruled out, and Jalen Williams Got to have him on the same team, right?
Yeah.
He's already ruled out for this game as well. He's dealing with an ankle sprain. So a lot of question marks. I mean, if you're the Thunder with all these guys banged up, you just punt this one. I mean, you're in a good spot right now in the season. Like, this is easily a spot we could see these guys sit. Like, SGA is an illness. I mean, that is going to be really tough. But Chet's dealing with, like, an ankle sprain. So, like, legit injury with him. And Dort has ankle soreness. So, I think SGA probably has the best chance of playing of the questionable tags. You know, illness, you could wake up feeling better the next day. Or you could feel worse. So, I mean, talk to me here about the Thunder. Almost an impossible situation to break down night before.
Yeah, it is really tough at this point. I do kind of agree with Jalen Williams out. It might not be a bad spot where they just take the night off, basically. They rest Chet, SGA, and Dort, and just try to get everybody healthy. I could definitely see it playing out like that. If SGA is in there, I think you have to have some interest. He's going to be extremely low-owned in this spot, I have to think. Nobody likes paying $10K for him. Denver's not the easiest matchup in the world. I think you get SGA under 5% if he's active. You have to have some interest in Giddey, I think, with Jalen Williams out. Just Jalen has kind of taken over the role from Giddey. But with Williams out, Giddey should step right back in there. I think he should be looking at upper 20s minutes. I know they don't ever like to extend him a ton, but I think he could get like 28 minutes in this spot at 5,900. I think I'd have interest there. From there, it just depends on who else is out and what their starting lineup looks like. Honestly, I think even after the news, we need to know what their lineup looks like. Like, they play so many guys. It's not going to be an easy situation to figure out even after some news breaks.
Yeah. If everyone plays, I mean, this is a game that is super competitive and I think I'd have interest in SGA. If everyone sits, Giddey would be my favorite. Then I think you'd take shots on Wallace. And I think you'd have to take shots on Kendrick Williams. Kendrick Williams is a good fantasy point per minute producer. If he's going to play 30 minutes in this game because of all the injuries, if these guys all sit, like, you can easily score 30 fantasy points at 3,200. So again, like, there's days where we don't find anybody we like under 5K. And we've already named like three or four people that are potentially in play under 4K on the slate. So it's already shaping up, depending on like some injuries here, to be a Stars and Scrubs type of slate. I mean, I'm calling it right now.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about the game everybody wants to talk about. Dallas at Minnesota, 224.5 total here. Minnesota, 13.5 point favorite. No Luka, no Kyrie, no Lively. Jones and Exum doubtful. Conley questionable on the Minnesota side. Dallas is going to be very shorthanded. Tim Hardaway's $2,000 less than he should be here.
Like, come on, DraftKings. What are we doing here? Like, we had the news like way early on Monday. Like, Monday morning is when Luka out came out around the news cycle. Like, they had time to adjust these salaries. Like, it's frustrating that they did not.
It's something. I'm going to let you go first here on Dallas. Just give us what you're thinking here.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough spot against Minnesota, but like you said, everybody is wildly underpriced, so you have to have some exposure, I think. Hardaway Jr. has been the big usage guy without Luka and Kyrie. Jaden Hardy has been starting the last couple of games. I don't know if they're comfortable with him playing a bunch of minutes. He got 27 against Orlando. He also started and played 19 against Sacramento, so I think Hardy has an extremely wide range of outcomes. He's also can be an extreme usage guy at times. I think you have to have interest there at 4,400, assuming that he grabs a start here. The other guys are all real low per minute, but they should be out there for, like, Josh Green and Grant Williams are the next two I'm looking at. They should be out there for 35 minutes in this spot, I would think. We saw Grant Williams put up an absolute dud, 6.5 DK points, after he put up an absolute monster 53 DK points in the game before that in a very similar situation. So, who knows what you're getting from Grant Williams other than he's probably going to be out there for 30 minutes at least. At 4K, I think you have to take some shots there. Let's see here. Lively, I think, he's out. Never mind. They're really shorthanded. I don't think I'm doing the Dwight Powell thing, assuming he grabs a start at center. Kleba, also not super interesting, but both of those guys are under 4K. One of them will probably be out there for 25 minutes. I don't know for sure which one. Potentially both of them, but I'd have less interest in the big guys, especially with Gobert on the other side, than I do in guys like Grant Williams, Jaden Hardy, Josh Green. And like Hardaway being 6K is interesting, and I think he could be a decent fade in large field tournaments. Like if he's projecting for like 50% ownership, taking an underweight stance on Hardaway and trying to get one of these cheap guys to go off might be my preferred route.
So I'm just going to go ahead and give you my Let's Get Weird GPP play of the day. I wrote this down already earlier today, or when I earlier tonight. Prosper, first round draft pick. Isn't this the perfect opportunity to get him some NBA minutes? I mean, you're missing legitly four starters, right? Derek Jones, yep. Luka, Kyrie, Lively, Exum, yep. Potentially another starters, but like they kind of like, isn't this the perfect opportunity to get Prosper minutes? I mean, why else get him called back up from the G League and just have him riding on the bench for an opportunity like this? I mean, when you have a first round draft pick and you're going to ride him on the bench, see what he has. I mean, and great. I could be way off. I could be way off.
I love this call. I think you're onto something. Look at the guys he's competing with minutes for.
Yeah.
Dwight Powell, Maxi Kleber, Rashawn Holmes. They do not care about any of those three guys. Like they're old veterans at this point. Not real old, but like they're veterans. They know what they are. Omax, like you said, a first round pick. They want to see what they have potentially. I'm totally on board. I love this call.
I have to look up the December 22nd game against Houston where he randomly got 30 minutes, but he had 31 fantasy points. Filled the stat sheet up nice. I hope this goes overlooked today. I doubt it will. Like we're legitimately missing five key players for Dallas.
As long as he doesn't start, I think you're okay. If he starts, then he's chalk. But if he does not start, I think there's so much uncertainty around how many minutes he's going to play that, like, unless he just projects it on every site to play like 20 minutes, which I don't think he will.
I'm going to look at that Houston game, right? He didn't start. It was okay. So it's really, I might be onto something, man. I sometimes think I'm smart, right?
Totally on something.
So that game against Houston, they got blown out, which they could easily get blown out in this game. Minnesota's much better team. Especially with them shorthanded, but it was Hardaway, Hardy, Williams, Jones, Markieff Morris. So they were missing Lively, Kyrie, Luka, Exum. And now we're adding Derek Jones Jr. I mean, I might be onto something here. Another 3K guy. I mean, hopefully he doesn't start, like you said. Hopefully he doesn't start.
Yeah, I think this is an 18-minute Dwight Powell start and give me Omax off the bench for like 24 minutes. That would be so sweet.
If they get blown out, he doesn't come off the floor either, right? Like, agreed. He finishes, yeah. He plays. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if he plays 6 minutes, but I also wouldn't be shocked to play 30 minutes in this game. So,
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Prosper is, I already wrote him down as my Let's Get Rid GPP play of the day, but I wanted to break it down when we were breaking the game down. So Hardaway, 1.44 fantasy points per minute with these guys off the floor. His usage rate's over 40%. He's going to shoot a ton in this game, no doubt about it. No second guessing this. We have a sample size that goes back with Luka out for a couple years now that Hardaway gets a huge bump. So there's so much to play here. Like, Hardy and Green, I think I'm out on Grant Williams. Super inconsistent. He's going to be chalky. But I mean, I don't mind taking shots on Hardy. Again, everything when I was researching this game earlier, when I was looking at the injuries, and it just led me to Prosper saying, this is a perfect opportunity to get your young guy 30 minutes in an NBA game. I mean, this is a guy we're going to see. You know, first round draft picks are guys we typically see play good minutes, and I think that this is a perfect opportunity to get Omax some minutes here. Minnesota. We talked a lot about Dallas. Obviously, a lot of injuries there that we were going to talk about. I am definitely worried about a blowout in this game. I mean, I hate to say it. I worry about this game staying close. In the blowout route, though, do we take some shots on like a Jaden McDaniels who might get a few extra minutes? You know, he's not going to be the first guy off the court. Like, I mean, Gobert and Towns and Edwards, these guys have been banged up a little bit recently. I mean, do they get pulled off early? Yes, they do if this game gets out of hand. The game stays close. Edwards, Cat, and Gobert could all smash too. So, I mean, there's two ways to play this game. You could play it the it's going to stay close enough. My guys get 30 plus minutes, or hey, I'm going to take some shots on these cheaper guys in a blowout.
Yeah, I think I'm leaning the blowout route. Conley has to sit in this spot, I would think. Like Dallas, there's I don't know. Dallas should not have a chance to keep this game close. Conley has been dealing with this hamstring injury. It's cost him a couple of games. This is a perfect opportunity for him to rest. Nikhil Alexander-Walker has been the guy who is starting for Conley in those places. You can certainly take shots on him at 4,500, but Jordan McLaughlin might be another 3K guy that I have a ton of exposure to. He's 3,100. I think he's the guy that gets the blowout run instead of Alexander Walker. So if Alexander Walker is going to be extremely popular, McLaughlin is one of my favorite tournament pivots. So we're going to have all kinds of stuff to do in the 3K range, I think, on this slate. Should be a really fun one.
Fun slate. Very Stars and Scrub type of slate. Yep. Going back to way back, way, way back, it makes me like the Kawhi Harden combo so much more. Like all the value that we've had open up, and they get a matchup with Washington. All right, New Orleans at Houston, 228.5 total in this game. New Orleans, a 2.5-point favorite. Herb Jones, questionable. Eason out for Houston. Let's go New Orleans first. What do we like here for the Pelicans?
Not a lot. Everybody's mostly healthy. Houston's been really good on defense. I will say that their prices are, like, cheap comparatively. Like, a month ago on DK, these guys would have been $1,000 more. Seems like DK is loosening the pricing a little bit. Like Brandon Williams at 7,500 feels like something, or Brandon Ingram rather. Zion at 7,300, CJ McCollum at 6,900. Like the price is, they're priced for a tough matchup, right? I'm not saying that I'm going to play them, but I do have interest in just because of the pricing. Where if I fall in that range, say I need a 6,900 point guard, I'm not going to kick CJ McCollum out of the lineup by any means. But it is a tough matchup. So worth noting also that Larry Nance has been playing really well here recently and seems to be ahead of Jonas Valanciunas to close games. So Larry Nance is potentially an interesting name, another cheap name as well, 3,700. Just wanted to throw that one out there too.
Yeah, I don't mind that. I kind of like BI in this spot. This is a spot that tough defensive matchups. These are the types of games that I like to play Brandon Ingram in. He's averaging 40 fantasy points and two outings against this team this season. I mean, this is almost a slate where raw points are going to matter a little bit here. I don't necessarily love this spot for CJ McCollum. I like him in easier defensive matchups. Like we just saw him kind of get eat up by Boston and OKC. So I think we can take some shots here on BI and Zion. But I think I'm out on Valanciunas. The minutes are too split. I like the Nance call. It's kind of it for me on this team. And then on the Houston team, I mean, a tough team to kind of figure out. But Van Vliet's price is somewhat nice in this spot. He hasn't been, like, fantastic here recently. Sengun is always someone that has a high ceiling, especially when we're talking like it's going to be a Stars and Scrubs type of slate. What do you like here on the Houston side?
Yeah, probably Sengun would be my favorite here, just chasing a ceiling. Like, the minutes have been amazing at times. 40 minutes in that last one against the Lakers, 8,600. Tough matchup against the Pelicans, but I think he has a ceiling. And then Jalen Green has been playing really well here recently. shooting the ball a ton. He also played over 40 minutes in that game. Like, thought he would take a little bit of a back seat with Jabari Smith coming back, but he really didn't. Loved his price that last game against the Lakers, and I had quite a bit of him, and he absolutely went off, 64 DK points. So I'll probably keep on the Jalen Green train for a little while until that, like, as long as he's below 7K, I have some interest there.
We finish it out with Phoenix at Brooklyn, 232.5 total. Phoenix, a 3.5 point favorite. Allen questionable, Bol Bol questionable, Lee out. Finney Smith still out for Brooklyn, Sharp out as well. Let's go Phoenix first. I mean, Devin Booker, he stopped the streak of like scoring a ton the other night, but still had a really good fantasy game. Now he's 9,700 though. His price has just caught up. I like this game though. I think this is a very stackable game. Necessarily, when you're looking at this game, matchup wise, pace wise, all that stuff might not like jump off the board, but like competitive basketball game wise, I think this game is great in that aspect. And that's why I think I want to pull the trigger on a little bit of Booker and Durant, maybe even fire some shots at Bradley Beal on this slate. Like a 3-inch max, I'm probably getting exposure to Booker, probably getting exposure to Durant. Beal's like on the fringe for me, depending on news throughout the day. Nurkic's minutes are all over the place right now. Grayson Allen out is going to be huge for Eric Gordon at 4,700. We're going to see him play more minutes, and that equals typically more shots for him. So I think there's a lot to target in this game.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the best matchup in the world against Brooklyn, but I do have some interest as well. Booker and Durant, like, seems like one of them goes nuts every other game. They rarely do it together, so I probably only play one of them in any given lineup. But I do have interest in chasing ceiling for both of those guys. The Beal price is interesting. I think 6,600, he's very playable. Like, he's been still getting plenty of usage. He's doing a little rebounding and a little assisting as well. So I do have some interest in Beal, and I love the Eric Gordon call as long as Grayson Allen misses. Saw him play 34 minutes without Allen in the last game, and he absolutely went off. So I think you can go right back to that. But I think Booker Durant would be my first look, and I lean Booker slightly over Durant.
Josh in chat says Okogie might start if Grayson's out. Do we have any interest in Okogie?
No, I mean, I think I would rather take shots on some of the other 3K guys that we've talked about. I prefer Julian Phillips, I think. Like he's started and played less than 20 minutes a couple of times this year. So even if he does start, I'd be a little concerned about how many minutes he's playing.
Well, their rotation could finish Booker, Durant, Beal, Nurkic, Gordon, right?
Yes.
Or Eubanks, Nurkic, like one of those two bigs, and like they could finish with Gordon in on both halves. So like you might get Okogie start, but you might only get like 10 to 12 minutes a half. Even with him starting. So he's cheap. Again, like we have a ton of 3K potential plays on the slate. So I think I'd prefer Gordon because I think they want Gordon on the floor to finish. And I think Gordon's just a better scorer than Okogie.
Yeah, for sure.
Brooklyn. Hey, Ben Simmons came back, played 18 minutes, almost got the poor man triple-double, 8, 11, 10, put up 40 fantasy points out of nowhere. No one kind of expected that. I don't expect his minutes to get bumped up here too much, if any. I think they're going to be very careful easing him back. Saw Cam Johnson have a pretty decent game the other night. Cam Thomas has been playing really solid recently. Claxton gets minutes. I mean, I don't like playing Brooklyn players, but I like this game environment just overall. Like I said, I think this is one of those like really competitive basketball games where we have 1, 2, 3, 4 games with double-digit totals or spreads. So I mean, I kind of have interest in the Brooklyn side here as well.
Yeah, the Brooklyn side's a little more difficult just because of the Ben Simmons thing. Like he definitely did not expect that type of production from him. On the minutes limit, I didn't consider playing him once, even though it was an awesome spot against Utah. Like, I don't know, you have to take a look at it, I suppose, if he's gonna have a chance to double double.
Other people take a look at it. I don't think we have to take a look at it.
That's probably fair. I don't think I can do the Simmons thing. until he's playing like mid-20s minutes, and maybe he gets there in this game. I kind of doubt it. I think he's going to be in like that 20 to 22 range for this spot. I don't know. Cam Thomas can score a bunch, but that's about all he does. 6,300. I think if like you're playing this game environment for it to like shoot out, the Suns have been in a couple of these games that just like they don't play any defense, and then Durant and Booker can just go off and keep up on the other side. So I'm with you on the game environment. I don't like playing Brooklyn is my biggest issue. Bridges, it probably has the best ceiling. 7,300. I think he's probably my first look over Cam Thomas. I don't mind Claxton, but I don't think this is the best matchup for him. Cam Johnson will be out there. Never does a ton, at least when I play him. So it's Bridges is probably where I ultimately land. Sounds like we're going to have plenty of value. Should have the money to be able to get up to Michael.
I think you're going to have plenty of salary. Yeah. Just overall, I think you're going to have plenty of salary. I think Cam Thomas is my favorite. Like just playing the hot hand here, he's been playing really good basketball. His usage has been up. He's been shooting more. So I think Thomas is my favorite. Claxton's typically always my favorite here, just because with Sharp off, he's going to play solid minutes. I think he just got 26 minutes the other night because they blew Utah out. I mean, I don't think it was anything besides just blowing Utah out of the gym. So, all right, let's play the morning grind game. Ton of value on this slate. As we've gone through the games here, fun slate, a lot of ways to approach this slate, which is always, fun slates, but favorite play under 5K to go 7X. Who do we have?
There are a ton of options. Like you said, think my favorite is going to be Jaden Hardy. It seems like he's gaining the trust of the coaches back more. I definitely want him in the starting lineup to take a big stance on him. But assuming that he's in that starting lineup, I think his usage rate could be insane in this spot.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of Dallas potential
any
here.
Dallas player could, yeah. Yeah.
A lot of Dallas potential. I'm going to go to Cody Martin for Charlotte, 4,400 here. Just like the role that he's going to play with LaMelo out, has played at least 29 minutes in three of his last five games. And I think that we're going to see him shoot a little bit more in this Chicago game. So I like Martin overall. Over 8K to go under 5X. This is an important question today. Who's your bust of the day?
It is an important question. And this guy almost always goes for 50 points. But I don't like this matchup for him. Give me Domantas Sabonis, 10K. With Bam on the other side, he's one of the more consistent guys at getting to that 50-point line. I think he falls a little bit short in the spot.
That's weird. We are going to the same game. I'm going to go De'Aaron Fox for Sacramento. 8,700, tough matchup against Miami. I think I'm going to pass on Fox today. Favorite 6X play today. Who do you got?
Give me Kawhi. Just a little bit too cheap for this awesome spot at Washington.
I don't want to say Hardaway. For what it's worth, I do think that he is like my favorite 6X play if I was like just calling it. But I really like AU. He's been playing fantastic for Chicago. Williams and LaVine will both still be out for this game. We don't have to worry about like back-to-back news here. The minutes have been fantastic. Give me 6X here on AU. Let's get weird GPP play of the day. I already gave out mine. Prosper, who do you got for yours today?
Yeah, I think there's a ton of options. And like just pivoting away from Dallas, I think is going to be a way to get unique. Give me the guy on the other side of that game. Just in case it blows out, Jordan McLaughlin, I think could get a little blowout run here. He can be a big usage guy when given the opportunity. So I will definitely have some exposure to Jordan McLaughlin.
There you go. I like it. And then, like I said, Prosper is mine. Let's go to the betting portion of the show. Any player props or pick 'em plays that you like for this one?
Yeah, I love this spot for Kawhi Leonard against Washington, a team that we have targeted all season long. They play super fast. They don't play any defense. Sitting at 26.5 points, give me the over or the more than 26.5 points.
Yeah, I'm going to fire that up on my sportsbook odds right here. Got that loaded up. I'm with you on that one. I bet this one already, but I'm going to go back to my Harrison Barnes train here. He's at 14.5 points. He gets a tough matchup here going up against Miami. I know he's been shooting more recently, but Harrison Barnes is just not a guy that is going to score 15 points a night, most nights. So I'm going to keep riding this under points until they get it back down to like 11.5, 12.5, what it's been at a lot of the season. So I'm going to take Harrison Barnes under 14.5 in this one. Any money line against spread stuff that you like on this one, over unders?
Nothing that was really standing out to me from money line spread standpoint. Let me just see. No, I don't think I have anything for money line or spread.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to get frisky, you probably take Minnesota minus 13.5. I don't know if that's enough with all this Dallas players out, but I did have another player prop that I like, so I'll give out a second player prop today. I like Tyler Hero over 18.5 points. Sacramento is allowing the most threes and one of the highest true shooting percentages on the season. This is a guy that has had at least double-digit shot attempts from three-point line in four of his last five games, and his double-digit shot attempt streak goes back so far that I stopped counting. It's like December something. So just a guy that's going to get up a lot of shots against the Kings. Great matchup. Give me over 18.5 points for Tyler Hero in this one. Keith, any final thoughts before we get out of here?
Should be a wild one. Looks like a really fun tournament slate, so can't wait to see what these ownerships look like and get out there and get some tournament teams loaded up.
All right, we're going to get out of here. I got some NASCAR work to do. I got to go start digging into the Clash betting odds. I'm excited to have NASCAR back this weekend. I think we're back tomorrow. It's a pretty small slate for tomorrow. We'll be back tomorrow. I don't know if we'll be on YouTube or not, but appreciate everyone hanging out with us. We'll see you guys again definitely on Friday. And yeah, Derek, I started watching the Netflix show. I think I'm through two episodes. My wife wants to watch it with me, so I have to watch it slow or I'd already be done with it. But hope everyone has a fantastic Wednesday. We'll be back tomorrow. Good luck, everyone. We'll see you then.